It's been one crazy journey since then, and I'd been asked if I was prepared for what was going to come afterwards, and you know, me being me, just assumed that it was going to be fine, and that's why I'm here to share a bit more about the journey in the aftermath of the 2015 Towson Nattiers.
When you say you thought it would be fine, is it really fine? Is it bad? What happened after winning that award?
My whole life changed. From winning that award, I came home and had a solo exhibition, my first debut solo exhibition at Mars Gallery, and that was a knockout. And there was a few people there that night that spoke about the idea of White Knight being a possibility for 2016. And I said yes, and that was, you know, a very successful projection artwork onto the NGV. And it took me to places I never dreamed of. Now I'm living in Melbourne, and I've just finished an artist in residency at the Victorian College of the Arts for 12 months, which was supported through the Helen McPherson Trust. I was named the Hutchison Fellow of the University of Melbourne. My whole life had just, you know, changed overnight pretty much, and I just got the idea of what they were saying more about, are you ready, from that, from this moment, from that time I spent during this year thinking about my year in retrospect.
One of the things you said, and you're still just listening to you right now, it just shows that you're true to your word, is inspiring other First Nations youth to follow in your footsteps also achieve.
I got a lot of, I'd say, mixed emotions about my position. As an artist, I feel like I'm capturing my environment and I'm reflecting the environment around me in stories and what's happening. So sometimes it can come really overwhelming in the sense that I feel like I've had a lot of panic attacks during the year, suffered with severe depression, to the fact where I was almost feeling like I had a taste of autism because of the details I was picking up, because I was taking what I was doing quite seriously. It actually became really scary for me to enter that world, and living in Melbourne made me realise that I wasn't scared of failing so much. It was more I was willing to fail. The thing is that if I hadn't have said all these things throughout the year and promised people and stuff, I mean, I did back up a lot of the time my word, but when it comes to what I do, I feel like sometimes I might say things in the wrong state of mind when I'm very vulnerable, when I'm going through, you know, sorry business and depression. All I wanted to do was feel loved, and to have that in return from me is something that I always wanted to feel again. So if I'd ever upset anybody throughout the year, I just want to make an apology right now and say that I'm really sorry, and I will become everything that I want to be. I think I'm just going through a very big transition at the moment. You know, sometimes it's not easy when you have the whole world at your feet, and then one day you wake up and go, I don't know whether I want this anymore. You know, and that makes me feel like I'm really, really off the eight ball sometimes with what I'm trying to achieve. But yeah, I've bounced back and I'm getting my strength back. And hopefully next year, 2017, I'll be able to come back and create some stories for everybody to enjoy.
I guess being a resident artist at prestigious galleries and pursuing your studies, all this also makes you feel empowered and fulfilled in a way?
With the Nattiers, I think the most important thing that I've learnt from that experience was actually I could trust in myself flying to Darwin from Victoria and representing the whole state, you know. Yeah.
Was it the first time you flew there?
Yeah, and being the only Victorian that was selected that year.
Yeah.
And then to actually take out the award was a huge, you know, achievement for a Victorian culture.
Yeah. Before you even won, how did it feel flying there?
When I went through Alice, I'd always heard about Alice and I seen how red it was, and the dirt, and everything was just so bright and vibrant, like really pastels, like really. And I see where the influence from Central Desert art comes from now, because the climate's different, you know, it enhances the colours and your ochres, you know, your more earthy sort of colours. And then you fly up through to Darwin and it's like you get to this place where it's like almost paradise in a way. And I got there and the first thing I walked off the plane, I couldn't believe how humid it was, you know, because I'm actually from Ballarat, one of the coldest places in, you know, Australia. And I go up there and I'm just blown away by this energy. And as soon as we get there, I caught up with Aunty Tina. And sorry for mentioning the name, but she's one of the Larrakia people, and she's picked me up from the airport. And she's, we need to welcome you to our country. So I went and done a welcome and with them, and it was great because I knew that the time that I was going to be there, I was going to be looked over, and to actually have the news come through and the lead up to it, I had a good feeling that it was going to work out. So I went through this process and it felt like I was on top of the world, and I just got so used to that feeling that if I would ever not feel that again, it'd be a catastrophe for me. So I always wanted to succeed at a high level. Bang, win after win after win after win.
So that's
when I talk about the idea of failing, is because you need to fail so that people don't become so used to the fact that you're a winner and that you're a success story the whole time, so that when you do fall, it's not such a catastrophe.
It's just that's fine
type thing. Say whether you're getting wins here and there in spurts, but you're also having losses here and there, that's fine. But when you've got this constant passion and this drive, which I have, is to say that everything I put my mind to, I want to win it and I want to be the best at it. That's that sporting background coming out of me. And sometimes it's hard for me to control that, but I have to learn that, because if I don't set that example now for myself, then I'm going to have a huge decline. And I feel like I'm experiencing one at the moment, and I don't ever want to get too high and then crash too fast.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to get on top of that ASAP.
But you're very level-minded. We are in radio, so listeners are not seeing you. You are a big guy. You say sporting background. Are you a boxer? Because your physique is a physique of a boxer, or really a very heavy lifting guy?
Yeah, I'm actually a basketball player.
Okay, so very tall and very powerful shoulders.
I had dreams of one day playing in the NBL, but I was never big enough. Like, I'm a big guy, but these guys are bigger and they're stronger and they're faster. And the game's progressing so much that I'm from Ballarat, a small country town, and we had, you know, great support and great success down there in our early years. And, you know, throughout my early years, I was really, you know, in the limelight of maybe being there one day. And I'd always took it really serious. I gave it a break, started playing footy, and I was probably not the best at footy, so I went back to basketball. And I started training every single day because I just wanted that dream. I knew that I was running out of time.
Yeah.
I wanted that dream to become a reality. I was training to the point where I was doing plyometric training and skipping and, you know, boxing and drill training, all that sort of stuff every day. I had, you know, one shot, and I messed it up. I just did not seem to get past the fact that my team around me probably didn't have the same ambition.
The same drive,
yeah. Same drive.
Yeah.
So I felt like a lot of the time it was just me wanting to be the best again, and they were more doing it for the enjoyment. I had one more crack at it, and ever since then I've just been chilling, doing artwork.
Yeah, that's great stuff, great stuff. And a message out there to our listeners, young and old, especially for the younger ones who are still up and rising, who are the future, because we, the older generations, are going out. The younger ones are the ones who are going to take over from us and lead this world. What message have you got for them?
I think just be yourself and you'll be fine. I mean, I don't think anybody realizes that we as humans are all connected anyway. For the young people, they might not understand it until they get older, but being in my position, I can sense that everyone around me is actually a part of my mind, and the universe is what's happening inside me. So everything's connected. If you show generosity, kindness, love, compassion, that's a good reflection on you. And then the person that you pay respects to will then feel good about themselves, and the world will be a better place. So it's important. I know everybody can't be positive 24/7, but the smallest sign of compassion can go a very long way sometimes. And it's not has to be forced. It's just if you see something that might need a little bit of care, just to go through with it and don't even worry about what's to follow. Just go ahead and do it.
Well, Josh Muir, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us about your experience. And congratulations again on your performance, whether it's artwork and the challenge you're taking in on the studies and your outlook on life. It's a very positive and strong, inspirational attitude.
Thank you so much, Bertrand.